بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Now, couple of issues before we finish talking about the timing of the Salat. I just want to mention that what is the best timing the people who are in darkness for 6 months. So yes, and another issue that if you are flying, how do you calculate the time of the Salat? These are two important issues we need to take note of. The first one, the modern ulama, they say that to calculate the closest country to them, the closest country that runs normally to them, they see, for example, let's just say in a country that the sun never sets for 6 months. So they calculate the closest country to them that the sun sets. طيب. Also, as for the countries that the sun never rises, they calculate the same thing. They calculate the hours. طيب. AM, PM, and so on. That is the best thing they can do. Also, for, and of course that also for the issue of fasting and so on and so forth. As for if you are flying, this issue is one of the issues that are a little bit at times problematic. Now, the opinions are a lot about it. The reality of the matter, I'll speak about how we are here in Australia. If you're flying locally 5-6 hours, then it is easy before you pray Asr. You all know the combination of the Salat. You can combine Dhuhr and Asr. This way you save yourself. You left Sydney Adhan al-Asr or Adhan al-Dhuhr. You pray Dhuhr and Asr together and you fly. We'll talk about the Salat al-Musafir. Now you got to the place that you are going to, Maghrib time. Khalas, you prayed it. So there is no issue. And then you pray Maghrib there and so on. Now, let's say you flew Asr time. You got there, you prayed, yani Dhuhr and Asr, and you flew Asr time. You got there, it is Salat al-Isha, khair, you combine Maghrib and Isha. You got there, it is Maghrib time, khair, you pray Maghrib, and you so on. So there is no issue. If you're flying a couple of hours, or sometimes, in this case, to Perth, which is, could be 4 to 5 hours trip, then you calculate it properly. Now, the question is, you're flying 14 hours, flying to Lebanon, you're flying to whatever country, South Africa, whatever you're going to, how do I calculate the Salat? Now, the best opinion that I've found is for you to know that you have to pray the basic principle, 5 salawat per 24 hours. 5 salawat per 24 hours. Tayyib. And here we are in Australia, we are what? In front of the rest of the world. So we are ahead of the rest of the world. Tayyib. So when you're flying, the time is going back. So, let's say you prayed Fajr and you flew. Now, by the time you get to some other country, you got there and, let's say to Malaysia, and it's not Dhuhr yet. Or normally just Dhuhr Adhan. For that 24 hours you haven't prayed Dhuhr, then Alhamdulillah, there's no issue, you pray Dhuhr. True or not? Is that a problem? No. Now, if you're flying over and far more than that, it entered that Dhuhr and Asr and so on, then what you do? You combine Dhuhr and Asr on the plane. You can even watch the sun and you'll find yourself, you will always, whatever you do, you will catch the 5 salawat within that 24 hours. True or not? Now, always make sure that you are praying the 5 tali salawat in the 24 hours. Let's say you left Sydney, Maghrib time. You pray Maghrib and Isha and you jump on the plane. You flew. Now, if you haven't prayed Maghrib on the plane Adhan al-Maghrib, then you pray Maghrib and Isha in the plane. Keep going in the plane. Now, keep watching the sun. You see the sun rise in the country that you are flying over, you get up and pray Fajr. By the time you get to your destination, you find maybe the Dhuhr or Asr has entered, or a little bit before Maghrib, you say Alhamdulillah, as soon as you arrive, you pray Dhuhr and Asr. So, the basic principle is, you try to follow the country that you are flying over. But how do I know? You're on the plane, Habibi, you can see. You can see the sun. And also, pay attention, All the planes today, they have this diagram where it is like a big wave. That wave actually is pointing out the sun for you and the shade in the sun. So you'd see where the sun is located on that diagram and where the plane is located and the line of the journey. This way you can follow that line and see where is the timing and how is the timing in the countries that you're flying to. But as long as you catch in that 24 hours, 5 daily salawat. And it makes it so easy when you combine the salawat. This way, if there is a bit of a change of timing while you are flying, it is covered. You see? The only very difficult salat to manage is Fajr. But if you keep your eye on the sun, then when it rises, you pray Fajr. So the basic principle is, two things you have to keep in mind. To pray the 5 daily salawat in the 24 hours. And what you need to pay attention to is the timing of the salat. If you want to know when is the timing of the salat, is the timing of the country that you are flying over. Some ulama have said you keep basing it on the time of the country that you left from. And once you arrive, you do not double up the salat. And you keep your clock on the time of the country that you flew from. Let's say you prayed Asr according to the country that you flew from and you arrived to a country, according to that opinion, they haven't prayed Asr. Khalas, you don't pray Asr, you prayed your Asr. You see? And then here, rahimahullah, he said, وَالصَّلَاةُ فِي أَوَّلِ الْوَقْتِ أَفْضَلْ. Performing the prayer at the beginning time is best. طيب. Of course, what is the dalil? The dalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْتَبِقُ الْخَيْرَاتِ Haste to good deeds. Type. So the best is to do the 5 daily salawat when? At the beginning of them. You hear the adhan? Go and perform the salat. What is the most important salat you need to do at the beginning? Maghrib. Maghrib salat straight away has to be done. Because of what we have explained. إِلَّا فِي الْعِشَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ Here he said, Except for the Isha prayer, where delaying it is better. Why he said that? It is preferred to pray Salat al-Isha delayed. Because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, hadith Abu Huraira, that anna al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yastahibbu an yuakhira al-Isha ila thuluthi al-layli aw shatri al-layl. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like the delay the salat to the third of the night or half of the night. He used to like to delay it towards that time. Of course, but is it absolute like? Is it at all times? No. For a man, the best to pray salat when? With the jama'ah. The best for a man to pray salat al-isha with the jama'ah. If the jama'ah is delayed, then it is khair. If it is not delayed, then you pray it with the jama'ah. You see. Now, secondly, let's say you miss the jama'ah, then it's preferred to start pray it delayed. Tayyib. Now, let's just say you're a person who wake up very early and go to work and you're tired. And if you delay it, you start mumbling in the words and you can't even get up on your feet. So what do? You pray it as soon as the adhan. Why? So okay, you can pray it with full energy. Not when you are dead and you can't move. A lot of the brothers, this happened to them, and then they end up mumbling the salat. It happens to a lot of us, so we have to be honest with ourselves. If you're a hard-working man, you cannot stay up till 11 o'clock. No, then pray it early and sit down and rest. But the basic principle, Isha and Fajr, to be prayed where? With jama'ah. At least this from your 5 daily salat to attend the jama'ah. Of course, we're talking about before sunrise, huh? The hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he described that kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yusalli dhuhra bil hajira. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray the dhuhr at the time of hajira. Al hajira hiya, al-Nawawi said, shiddatul harri nisfun nahari iqba al-zawal wa qila سميت هاجرة من الهجر وهو الترك لأن الناس يتركون الصرف حينئذ لشدة الحر ويقيلون. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray the dhuhr when at time of Hajra. Hajra is when the people used to neglect that time and abstain from. Al-Hajr is to neglect and abstain from. Why? Because the sun is still hot on top, and people in Arabia, they used to leave and go home and go for siesta because it's too hot. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes used to pray at the time of Hajra. والعصر والشمس نقية. And the عصر, when the sun is clear, that means still at the beginning of the time, high, clear and clean, hasn't started, يعني the color of it hasn't changed, hasn't started to move towards sunset. والمغرب إذا وجبت. And the مغرب when, of course, sets. والعشاء أحيانا يؤخرها وأحيانا يعجل. And the عشاء, sometimes he will delay it and sometimes he would pray quickly, يعني as soon as the adhan comes. كان, pay attention, that's the دليل. كان إذا رآهم قد اجتمعوا عجل وإذا رآهم قد أبطأوا أخر. And يعني this دليل for صلاة العشاء. When he used to for عشاء see them came, يعني the companions would come and they gathered early in the masjid, he would pray it. And if they coming يعني late, he will delay it until they come. So all of that to recognize the maslaha for the jama'ah. وَالْفَجْرَ كَانَ يُصَلِّيهَا بِغَلَسِ. And the fajr he used to pray in ghalas. What is the ghalas mean? That when it is dark. Al-ghalas is still dark. And it just rise at the beginning of the time of Isha, where still darkness. Here, there is another hadith, أزفروا بالفجر فإنه أعظم للأجر. Pray Fajr when it's far time because it is greater in reward. There's another hadith that could cause conflict. Al-Isfar, when there is light. Is it best to pray Fajr at the time of Taghlis or at the time of Isfar? The opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah about this matter, which is At-Taghlis or Al-Isfar, it is the opinion of the Jumhur, the majority of the ulama. Now, even Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he mentioned that in his book, when he said rahimahullah, when he generalized rahimahullah, was-salatu fi awwal al-waqti afdal, meaning the salat in the beginning of its time is best. Here he made an exception, illa fil isha' al-akhirah, except in the isha', the last one. He mentioned also another exception, wa fi shiddati al-harr fi al-dhuhr, in the extreme heat of the dhuhr. Now pay attention. Since he made exceptions, that means the three salawat has to be done the best in the beginning of its time. And he made exceptions. That means the fajr is, he meant, in the beginning of the Taghlis. What is the word Taghlis mean if we want to define it? A Taghlis, which is a mixture, اختلاط ضياء الصبح بظلمة الفجر. It is a mixture of the light of morning, that little light with the darkness. So you see the darkness, that little shade of light that comes out in the horizon, that is وقت الغلس. That means still really dark. Still dark, but it's not pitch black, but still dark. So what does it mean, the time of ghalas? The beginning of Fajr. The beginning of the time of Fajr. Not to delay it, the beginning of it. I found a couple of answers for Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Because remember, you have another hadith which says, أَسْفِرُوا بِالْفَجْرِ فَإِنَّهُ أَعْظَمُ لِلْأَجْرِ. Pray Fajr at the time of Isfar, it is more rewarding. What is the time of Isfar? Is to delay it until the light become really apparent. He said here, when they asked him, rahimahullah, which is the best? At-Taghlis am al-Isfar? Hal at-Taghlis afdal am al-Isfar? Fa-ajab rahimahullah. He answered, Alhamdulillah, at-Taghlis afdal idha lam yakun thamma sabab yaqtadi at-ta'khir. He said, At-Taghlis is better if there is no reason necessitates delaying the salat. And if there is a reason, then you delay it a little bit of Fajr. Let's say you're driving, 4 o'clock in the morning is the adhan, and half past 4 going to reach a petrol station where you stop, and you make Salat al-Fajr, let's say. So there is a reason why you're delaying it from At-Taghlis. فَإِنَّ الْأَحَادِيثَ الْمُصْطَفِيدَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تُبَيِّنُ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يُغَلِّسُ بِصَلَاتِ الْفَجْرِ. He said, the al-ahadith al-mustafida, the ahadith that are overwhelming in its number, that is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it clarifies that he used to do taghlis in Salat al-Fajr. كَمَا فِي الصَّحِحَيْنِ عَنْ عَائِشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, as in the two authentics, Bukhari and Muslim, hadith narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, لَقَدْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُصَلِّي الْفَجْرِ. The Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ used to pray Fajr. فَيَشْهَدُ مَعَهُ نِسَاءٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. A group of women from the mu'minat used to witness the salat. Minna used to pray the salat al-Fajr with the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. مُتَلَفِّعَاتٍ بِمُرُوطِهِنْ. مُتَلَفِّعَاتٍ بِمُرُوطِهِنْ, يعني they are covered with al-murut. Al-murt is a type of clothing that is made from wool. تَلَفِّعَاتٍ بِمُرُوطِهِنْ, يعني they cover themselves with their murut. ثُمَّ يَرْجِعْنَا إِلَى بُيُوتِهِنَّ مَا يَعْرِفُهُنَّ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْغَلَسِ. They go back to their houses and no one knows them from the ghalas. So they used to attend the salat of the Prophet ﷺ and walk back and they are not recognized. It doesn't mean their faces in uncovered and you cannot recognize them. No. Because the ulama have answer to this. As you see, the correct opinion is for the woman to cover her face. As Al-Baji said, one of the ulama al-Malikiya, he said this is hadith possibly before the hadith of covering the face. And the hadith also is, the hadith is not very clear to say that the woman can uncover her face. Here Ibn Taymiyyah, he continued, وَالنَّبِيُّ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي مَسْجِدِهِ قَنَادِيلٌ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no lights inside his masjid. There is no lamps inside his masjid. So no one would know whom it is. They will just attend the salat and it is dark. But you can still have little bit of light. You can see in front of you that he is a person in front of you. طيب. He continued to say, rahimahullah, كما في الصحيحين أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقرأ في الفجر بين الستين إلى المئة. As in the two authentics, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite in the Fajr between 60 to 100 verse. 60 to 100 verse in Salat al-Fajr. وَيَنْصَرِفُ مِنْهَا حِينَ يَعْرِفُ الرَّجُلُ جَلِيسَهُ. And the Salat ends when a person knows who is sitting next to him. That means there is enough light, خلاص, I can recognize you. So when the Salat starts, they cannot recognize each other. They can see he's a person. But who it is, it's too dark. And there is no lamps. And when the Salat finishes, by the time the Prophet ﷺ finishes, everyone is able to recognize one another. وهذه القراءة نحو جزء أو ثلث جزء. So this قراءة is about half a جزء or third of جزء. Half a جزء, how many pages? Huh? Half a جزء. 10 pages. 10 pages. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to read for Salat al-Fajr 10 pages or the third of 20, round about 7 pages for Salat al-Fajr. Now, we read 2 pages in Salat al-Fajr and they say, Ya Sheikh, 2 pages? Takhilla, 2 pages. Subhanallah al-Azim. Khair. وكان فراغه من الصلاة حين يعرف الرجل جليسه وهكذا في الصحيح غير هذا الوجه أنه كان يغلس في الفجر وكذلك خلفاؤه الراشدون. هي رحمه الله, he said, and he used to finish the salat when a man would know he is the one who's sitting next to him. In authentic from different ways that he used to يغلس في الفجر, praise Fajr at the beginning of the time. Also the خلفاء الراشدون, the caliphs who came after him صلى الله عليه وسلم did the same thing. Now another question comes up. How do we combine between the ahadith then?
الجمع بين الأحاديث. How do we combine between the أحاديث؟ Also Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله will give us the answer. أسفروا بالفجر, the first رواية, أسفروا بالفجر فإنه أعظم للأجر. Do isfar. You know what is the isfar. يعني delay it until one of you is able to recognize each other easily. I mean you're talking about around about 45 minutes from the Adhan time. Here he said, how do we combine where the Prophet ﷺ said, أَسْفِرُوا بِالْفَجْرِ فَإِنَّهُ أَعْظَمُ لِلْأَجْرِ. Perform Fajr at the Isfar time. It is greater in reward. It is an authentic hadith, Ibn Taymiyyah says. Also, وَلَكِنْ قَدْ اسْتَفَادَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يُغَلِّسُ بِالْفَجْرِ حَتَّى كَانَتْ تَنْصَرِفُ النِّسَاءِ. Also, the hadith, يعني, as we mentioned, also that it is narrated in a vast number of narration that the Prophet ﷺ used to start the salat at the taghlis time until women leave the salat and they cannot recognize and they cannot be recognized. You see? So that means he used to start so early and finish while the time of Isfar did not come yet. So you have this and you have that. How do we combine? Here, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, فَلِهَذَا فَسَّرُوا الْحَدِيثَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهَيْنِ. He said, the ulama have explained this hadith in two ways. أَنَّهُ أَرَادَ الْإِسْفَارَ بِالْخُرُوجِ مِنْهَا حَتَّى تَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا مُسْفِرَةً. Here, he said that he meant the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the isfar, the time you finish the salat. Meaning you start at the taghlis and you keep the salat, prolonging the salat until the light comes up a bit. As in the interpretation of the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ used to finish the salat while each person can recognize the one sitting next to him. That's, they interpreted that. That to get that great reward, keep praying, delay the prayer. What it means, delay the prayer, prolong the prayer. Start at the taghlis and extend with it, read about 7, 8, 9, 10 pages and until the light is a bit strong where one can recognize the other one easily and see him easily because of the light. The second interpretation of the ulama, أَنَّهُ أَرَادَ أَن يَتَبَيَّنَ الْفَجْرَ وَيَظْهَرْ فَلَا يُصَلِّي مَعَ غَلَبَةِ الظَّنِّ. He said, the Prophet ﷺ intended that you wait a little bit until the light of Fajr comes out, so you pray with no doubt that the time has started. You see? Because as you see, when the Fajr begins, there's only a small amount of light, and sometimes can be unseen really, especially if you live among inside the houses. So they say, wait a little bit until you see a little bit of sun extra, and then now, غَلَبَةَ الظَّنِ, beyond reasonable doubt. The Fajr time has started. فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يُصَلِّي بَعْدَ التَّبَيُّنِ إِلَّا يَوْمَ مُزْدَلِفَ فَإِنَّهُ قَدَّمَهَا ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَى عَادَتِهِ. He said here, the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, he used to pray after confirming that the light has appeared. Except the day of Muzdalifa and so on. Now, is the issue of Isfar and the Ahadith of Isfar, if you read it, and the Ahadith of At-Taghlis are understood? So, the opinion of the majority is what? To pray it at his early time. And this is the opinion of Ibn Qudama in the book, Rahimahullah. And also he said, وَفِي شِدَّةِ الْحَرِّ فِي الظُّهْرِ. Here, Rahimahullah, he said, or the Dhuhr prayer in extreme heat. Also to delay the Dhuhr when there is extreme heat. We said the Dhuhr has one time till Asr. Tayyib. So, at the moment, yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, إِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْحَرُّ فَأَبْرِدُوا بِالصَّلَاةِ فَإِنَّ شِدَّةَ الْحَرِّ مِنْ فَيْحِ جَهَنَّمْ. Hadith in Bukhari Muslim. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when there is extreme heat, فَأَبْرِدُوا بِالصَّلَاةِ, wait until it cooled down a little bit. It cools down a little bit. Like today, Adhan al-Dhuhr, let's say 1 o'clock.
and it's very hot at 1 o'clock. So if you wait till about 2:30, Asr is 4:30, there is no problem. Why the people? It's easier for them. And remember, they used to pray on what? On sand and stones. But today, if there is air conditioning everywhere, so it's not as issue as it used to be in the days of the Prophet ﷺ. And this goes according. See, you have to understand, all this, delaying Salat al-Dhuhr, delaying Salat al-Isha or praying it early, all goes back to one thing, you see it, and revolve around one circle, which is al-maslaha. What is more beneficial to the community? What is easier on the community? If the community, if a certain community have a local masjid and they set the time, then we follow the time set. Why? Because that, all of it is, you see it, to remove the burden of the people and of the community to attend the salat. So whatever is comfortable for the people, we do it. If it is comfortable for them to do Salat al-Dhuhr 2 o'clock, there are workers, and around the area where the majority of people take lunchtime 2 o'clock, then we make Dhuhr 2 o'clock. If they are at lunch 1:30, we make it 1:30. You see? Because it all revolves around the issue of maslaha for the people. What can be easier for the people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed Dhuhr in the Hajira, in the time of heat, and he told us also to pray it when it's cooled down a little bit. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes would pray the Isha early and sometimes he delays it. But as I said, if you are an individual, delay the Isha, there is no problem, it's better for you. But if you're praying with the Jama'ah, pray it with the Jama'ah. And if you are an Imam of a Masjid, wait and see what is the best time for the people and you follow that. And that's why it is a beautiful when the Imam of a Masjid, he consult his constituents and the ones who come pray behind him and say, we want to delay the Isha. What do you think? And then there the locals have the right to say, no, leave at 9:30 or delay it till 10 o'clock. And he goes with what he sees. It's easier on the people. Easier on the people. Before we go into covering the awrah, I'd like to give you a small summary of the timing. A quick summary of what we learned in 2 minutes. We learned that the time of Dhuhr has one time. It starts from the time of the meridian, when the sun moves from the meridian, from zenith, until the time of Asr starts when the shade of the sundial equals and more than the object itself, or the sundial. Then from the Asr starts all the way till Maghrib. Maghrib starts when the sun fully sets. But of course, you could see the red twilight. And we said Asr has two times, optional time and urgency time. The optional time is until the sun turns yellow. We said in this case, around about 1 hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour and 10 minutes, difference on country, season, and so on. The Maghrib time, we said, it has one time until the red twilight disappears, which this is the time of Isha. We said it's one time, but the Shafi'iyya were very strict and they said it has one time, which is about 20 minutes. So the Shafi'iyya were strict. They said the Maghrib has one time, 20 minutes. And that's why it is important to rush into Maghrib and not delay the time of Maghrib. And we said Isha all the way till Fajr, to the true Fajr, not Al-Fajr Al-Kadhib, the false Fajr. We said it has two times. Time of optional till about midnight, and time of urgency, which is till Fajr. And we said Fajr has one time from the dawn, from the time the light, dawn, you see the light comes out, till the full sunrise. So that is the times of the salawat. Now, we continue with the conditions of salat. الشرط الثالث ستر العورة بما لا يصف البشرة. Yeah. He said the third condition, the covering of the private parts with the garment does not describe the body shape.
ستر العورة بما لا يصف البشرة. The third condition is covering the awra. Of course, the awra changes accordingly. Male, female. And also, female changes between a slave girl and free girl. Now, also what we need to understand in the issue of awra, there is an awra inside the salat and awra outside the salat. So when we talk about the awra, we're talking about the awra inside the salat. Inside the salat. And awra outside the salat, there is something else. Because you will see the awra of the woman inside the salat, there is exception, face and hands, with a difference of opinion about the feet. We'll talk about it there. As for outside the salat, the ulama say, cover the face for the woman. Some ulama, yani. The salaf on that opinion. What I mean the salaf? I don't mean the salafiyya da'wah. I mean the salaf, yani the first three blessed generations. I do not want to go there, but that's not our study. But now we're talking about the salat, so we're talking about the awrah inside the salat. He said, سَتْرُ الْعَوْرَةِ بِمَا لَا يَصِفُ الْبَشَرَةِ. The covering of the private parts with the garment that does not describe the body shape. طيب, what is the dalil for that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا بَنِي آدَمْ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Oh, the son of Adam, take your zina, your adornment, your dressing properly, عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. And here the masjid is what? The masajid, the mosques. And also the salat. Also the dalil of it is the ijma', the consensus of the ummah. Now, another hadith we can use here about that the color of the skin should not show. The color of the skin should not show. Meaning the awrah, you cannot wear something thin that shows the skin behind it, regardless woman or men. You can't see the skin behind it, something see-through. Rawa Abdul Razzaq and Al-Bayhaqi in an authentic narration. An Nafi', who's Nafi'? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu had two main students. He had Nafi', which is his mawla, slave that he bought, and become one of the greatest narrators. Salim, his own son. So there are two narrators, main narrators from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Salim and Nafi'. And ulama of hadith differed, which is more stronger? Salim or Nafi'? Some said Nafi', even though he's not his own son. قال رآن ابن عمر, ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما, he saw me أصلي في ثوب واحد, praying in one ثوب. قال ألم أكسك ثوبين؟ فقلت بلى. He said, didn't I dress you with two thobes? He said, yes. قال أرأيت لو أرسلتك إلى فلان أكنت ذاهبا في هذا الثوب؟ You see, if I send you to see someone or meet someone who's a prominent in the community, do you go with this thawb you are wearing? فقلت لا. قال, يعني I said no. فقال الله أحق من تزينت له. Allah is more deserving, it is more appropriate that you تتزين, you dress nicely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean, ya ikhwah? He saw on him thawb. What is thawb? Thawb used to be one piece of clothing. One piece of a clothing. So he probably is wearing it as an izar. Or he's wearing it from his waist down, just to cover his awra. Ibn Umar, he said, but I gave you two. So why don't you wear both of them? Because of course wearing two is more respectable than wearing one. Would you see if I send you to someone, would you be dressed like this? And that is how we have to think about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some brothers, with all their clothing full of grease, stinking, smelly. Now, unless it is hardship. If it poses hardship, then pray the way you are. But if it doesn't pose hardship, there will be nothing wrong as you move to remove the overall and wear a thawb. Take it with you to work and pray with it. Okay? So pay attention to that. If it doesn't pose hardship. So, it is the consensus that we have to cover the awrah in salat. وَعَوْرَةُ الرَّجُلِ, he said, طيب, what do we define a rajul? A rajul is the one who reached puberty. A rajul is the one who reached puberty. طيب, younger than that, we order them to cover their awra as training for them. Seven, once they reach seven, they now we tell them, cover your awra. Below seven, they have no awra. Except if the girl, she starts showing signs of awra, signs of maturity, then you cover them up. And also, the girls, it's better to encourage them to cover themselves at a young age. Especially going public, it is better to just to excite them, to buy them nice colored abayat, nice colored, just to fulla abaya, and also all those things, just to encourage them to accept that and become part of their life. وَعَوْرَةُ الرَّجُلِ وَالْأَمَةِ مَا بَيْنَ السُّرَّةِ وَالرُّكْبَةِ. He said, the awra, the private parts of a man and female slave, is what is between his belly button and his knees. So, what is the awra of the man and the slave girl? Is between the knees and the belly button. Ya ikhwa, here when the shaykh is talking about the awra for the man and the slave girl and the slave boy and the woman, he's talking about the bare minimum in the salat. He's talking about the minimum in the salat. And that's why he says the man and the slave girl between the knee and the belly button. Apart from that, you can add, yani when he's talking about the slave girl, it's not expected in our intellect that this is what only she's going to wear. But this is the minimum she should be wearing, the slave girl. You understand here? So we need to understand this point before we proceed about this issue of awra. Now, is the belly button and the knees included or excluded? Before I go to that, let's first see the ahadith where it came, what has told us. عن علي رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تبرز فخذك ولا تنظر إلى فخذ حي ولا ميت. رواه أبو داود وابن ماجه. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not expose your thigh, do not and do not look at the thigh of a living man or dead. This hadith, of course, the ulama have spoken about its authenticity. You'll find many of the ahadith, the ulama have debated their authenticity, but the collective of the ahadith points to that. Also, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال الفخذ عورة. Ibn Abbas narrated رضي الله عنه that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the thigh is a عورة, narrated by Tirmidhi and Ahmad. Also, in another narration of the same hadith, مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على رجل وفخذه خارجة. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم passed by a man and his thigh is outside his clothing. فقال له غطي فخذيك فإن فخذ الرجل من عورته. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, cover your thigh. Indeed, the thigh of a man is part of his عورة. وعن جرهد الأسلمي قال مر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلي بردة وقد انكشفت فخذي فقال غطي فخذك فإن الفخذ عورة. رواه مالك في الموطأ وأحمد وأبو داود والترمذي وقال حسن. The Messenger وسلم passed by a man which is Jurhad al-Aslami and he said that I was wearing a burda which is a cover, يعني a garment, outer garment where my fakhid showed. The Prophet وسلم said, غطي, cover your fakhid, indeed the fakhid is awra. Now also that, what about the knee? Is it part of the awra or not? The ahadith here, as collected by Bukhari, عن أبي موسى الأشعري أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان قاعدا في مكان فيه ماء فكشف عن ركبتيه أو ركبته فلما دخل عثمان غطاها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as Abu Musa narrated رضي الله عنه, he was sitting in a place where there is water, meaning he's sitting in a place dipping his feet or his legs in the water. فكشف عن ركبتيه أو ركبته. He uncovered both his knees or one of his knees. Then Uthman entered, then the Prophet ﷺ covered his knee. Now one would say, يعني why the Prophet ﷺ would cover it if it's not awra, we said that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was watching this. If the Prophet ﷺ was not allowed to show his knee, what would he done? He would have covered it in front of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. But when Uthman entered, he covered it. That means the knee is not from the awrah, but out of added respect to cover the knee. But it's not from the awrah. Meaning, if you show your knee, you're sitting with friends, you show your knee, it showed there is no issue. But if someone honorable walks into the room, or your father, or your shaykh, or you're one of the ones that prominent in your community, you let it down and cover the knee. But you're not judged as exposing the knee. Otherwise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as for the surah, there is a hadith collected by the Dayrakutni wal Bayhaqi, عورة الرجل ما بين سرته إلى ركبته وحديث أبي سعيد مرفوعا عند الحرف بن أبي أسامة في مسنده بلفظ عورة الرجل ما بين سرته وركبته. طيب, here Bayhaqi and Dayrakutni narrated the hadith عورة الرجل ما بين سرته إلى ركبته. The عورة of the رجل, a man, is between his surah, navel, to his knee. Pay attention. Ma bayna, in between. Ma bayna is what? In between the navel to his knees. Ila. And in another narration, awratul rajuli ma bayna surratihi wa rukbatihi. In between the awra of a man, in between the surah and the rukbah, the navel, the knee. Now, where is the dalil? Here the ulama, they said, وَالْحَدُّ يَدْخُلُ فِي الْمَحْدُودِ وَتَغْلِيبًا لِجَانِبِ الْحَصْرِ. This is one group of the ulama. They said, الْحَدُّ يَدْخُلُ فِي الْمَحْدُودِ. What is الْحَدُّ? Meaning the part that you start with enters the mahdood, is what you're trying to limit and define. Meaning, when you say the awrah starts from the navel to the knee, they said, this is the hudud. These are the borders. The borders enter the definition. And that's why some would say the navel is part of the awra. But some group of ulama, they said, no. When you say in between, that means these two, they're not included. That's why you could say to someone, run from the red flag. You say, the racing course is between the red flag and the black flag. You start from the red flag, but as soon as you reach the black flag, you don't have to stand on it or pass it. Just as soon as you reach to it, you have completed the course, isn't it? You see, that's why they say, no, the navel is outside. And that is the opinion of the majority and in the madhab. I will read something for you also. Here the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said in al-Sharh al-Mumti' وَفِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ أَقْوَالِ. And in this matter there are different opinions. أَحَدُهَا أَنَّ الرُّكْبَةِ دَاخِلَ فِي الْعَوْرَ فَيَجِبُ سَتْرُهَا. He said the first opinion, that the rukbah enters the awra and that you must cover it. The second opinion, أن السرة والركبة كلتيهما من العورة فيجب سترهما. He said, the سرة, the navel and the knee, both are from the عورة and both must be covered. It's the second opinion. والقول الثالث, the third opinion, وهو المشهور من المذهب, and it is the famous well-known opinion from the Hanbali madhab, أن السرة والركبة لا تدخلان فلا يجب سترهما وعلى هذا فالعبارة التي تخرجهما أن يقال ما بين السرة والركبة. Here he's trying to correct the matter. He said that the well-known opinion in the madhab, it is do not enter, they do not enter the awra. And that's why he said we have to say, he's correcting the matter, which is Zad al-Mustaqni', because he said إِلَى الرُّكْبَةِ in the matan, he's correcting it. He said it is best to be said that مَا بَيْنَ السُّرَّةِ وَالرُّكْبَةِ Between the awra of the man is between the surah, the navel, and the rukbah. And that's why you see here, in lafzul hadith, in the hadith that we read, which is, عَوْرَةُ الرَّجُلِ مَا بَيْنَ سُرَّتِهِ وَرُكْبَتِهِ The awra of the man is whatever between the navel and the rukbah. Of course, as I said to you, always use this precaution. What is the precaution? That do not wear something going to show the navel. But let's say you're exercising and then you're stretching or something and the navel showed, it's not a big problem because it is not part of the awra. But under it, the awra starts. Under it, the awra starts. Of course, in the salat, the best is to wear izar. To wear what? Izar. As I will read to you. Hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, لما صلى وعليه ثوب قد اشتمل به. Hadith Jabir ibn Abdullah, he prayed and he had a thawb. He اشتمل به. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Jabir ibn Abdullah, إن كان واسعا فالتحف به وإن كان ضيقا فأتزر به. رواه البخاري ومسلم. What does this hadith means? Jabir ibn Abdullah. When he prayed with a thawb, ishtamala bihi. What is ishtamala bihi? Ishtamala bihi meaning he put it on himself. Al-ishtimal is to put something around yourself. Yani to get it and to just wear it around yourself. How is that? You grab a garment. You grab a garment and you round yourself with it and your hands wear inside of it. Hand, you know how, imagine you got a blanket and you wrapped yourself with it and your hand is inside of it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "In kana wasi'an, if you have a loose garment, then iltahif." What is al-iltihaf? Is to wear it loosely around you so you can move your hand easily from top to bottom. وَإِنْ كَانَ ضَيِّقًا فَأْتَزِرْ بِهِ If it is very tight, very small and tight, then wear it as an izar around you. طيب, one of you would say, why all this, yeah, Wissam? Why it's all like this? Because the companions, some of them never owned except one thawb. يعني, all this ahadith, it's, man, why do I need this? I have a wardrobe full of clothing. I have abayas, thawbs, Asil, Daffa, Thailand, everything, Indonesian style, Pakistani style, Arab style, I have everything. Why all these complications in the hadith? You have to remember that the companions, some of them had one thawb, or two. Even Rasulullah had two. One for day to day, and the second one to welcome the guests with, and for Friday. So that is how simple was their life. Not spending 3 days shopping for a shirt. Calvin Klein and Donkey Klein. Now, also what I'd like to mention here about this issue, that if someone wearing a tight pants that is not see-through, many brothers wear tight pants and it's not see-through. Now, is what they're doing correct? Now, we cannot say their salat is invalid. But if it is describing the awrah and it is tight, mean tight on the thigh, if it is tight on the thigh, then it is describing the awrah. And sometimes the private parts themselves are described, then it is best to wear what? An izar, a loose clothing for the salat. It is from the zina of the salat. Remember, if something is acceptable in the society, it doesn't mean it is acceptable in Islam. That's why even if you want to wear sirwal pants, there's no harm. But make sure you wear the loose sirwal. Because alhamdulillah we have balawi now. We have lower cut and upper cut and I don't know what. And tight, you see. And the brother, you see, you don't know he's a man or a woman or he's a lady or what's happening to him. Tight, 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 that everything showing. And especially the brothers who like to spend 7 hours a day in the gym. And then they train their, you know, if they want to show their legs, they do not know that they are falling into haram and awrah, wal-iyadu billah, and exposing the awrah, wal-iyadu billah. He said, wa-awratu, and the awrah of the amah is between the surah and the rukbah. What is Al-Ama? Al-Ama is a slave girl. The slave girls, they have different rules than the free girls. Shuf Hind, before she became a Muslimah, or whilst she was becoming a Muslimah, the Prophet, she was giving the bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, part of the bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you do not fall into zina. What did she say? أَوَتَزْنِ الْحُرَّ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. يعني even with the jahiliyyah of Quraysh, they didn't expect that the free woman does zina, commit adultery and fornication. It's crazy. It's only for slave girls. The honor of the Arab, even before Islam, their mind did not like zina. For free people, they're too honorable to do zina. Now the Muslims, not only she is free, not only she is a Muslim, she's what? She's falling into zina. Where is the honor has gone? There's no honor anymore. It's enough that you're a Muslim. It's enough, brother, that you're a Muslim. That's supposed to, by itself, prevent you from falling into zina. But alhamdulillah, unfortunately, what can we do? Here, وَعَوْرَةُ الْأَمَمَ بَيْنَ السُّرَّةِ وَالرُّكْبَةِ. Also, the ama, her awra, is between the surah and the rukbah. Now, one would say, who is the ama? The ama is a slave girl. It doesn't exist anymore. The book mentions it. We have to explain it. He said, between the surah and the rukbah. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, collected by Ahmad and others, مروا أبناءكم بالصلاة لسبع وضربوهم عليها لعشر سنين. He said, order your children to pray at the age of 7 and then strike them for it when they reach 10. Of course, striking with no breaking the bones, nor bruising, nor يعني, just a little slap. Naughty, you haven't prayed. Of course, when you order them for from 7 to 10 days, 3 years, you time it 3 times, 3 years, time 360, time 5, how many orders you ordered them. So you don't even need to strike them by 10 because they should have. But of course you can't order them and while you're watching television and you're not praying, because they will learn from you. وَإِذَا زَوَّجَ أَحَدُكُمْ خَادِمَهُ عَبْدَهُ أَوْ أَجِيرَهُ فَلَا يَنْظُرْ إِلَى مَا دُونِ السُّرَّةِ وَفَوْقَ الرُّكْبَةِ. He said, if one of you, he marries his khadima, mean slave girl or slave boy, or ajirahu also means amatahu lati takhdumuhu, yani the one who serves him, al-ama or slave boy or slave girl, let him not look from lower than the surah and above the knee. That is fine. Then he moves. Wal-hurratu kulluha awrah illa wajhaha wa kaffayha. The free woman, all of her is considered awrah except her face and her two hands. Al-hu al-hurra, the free woman. طيب. Now, he said, all of her except her face and her two hands. Is he talking outside the salat or in the salat? So if someone reads it and says, see Ibn Qudama, he's saying here, the face is not awrah. He said, Jazakallah khair. Understand what he's trying to say. Speaking about the chapter of salat. So he's talking about the salat and inside the salat. Illa wajhaha wa kaffayha. Tayyib. Also, as I mentioned, for the girl, yani the girl, when she reaches puberty, she becomes obligated, then she needs to cover. Now, if she hasn't reached puberty, also she covers as a mean of training her and to practice. Now, what is the dalil? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith collected by Ahmad and Abu Dawood, لا يقبل الله صلاة حائض إلا بخمار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the salat of a menstruating woman except with khimar. And the khimar is the cover. This hadith has some weakness in it, as some ulama said. And another hadith that comes also with an authentic narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as it is narrated by Ibn Abi Shayba, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ فَلْتُصَلِّي فِي ثِيَابِهَا كُلِّهَا. If a woman pray, let her pray in her full clothing. الدِّرْعُ وَالْخِمَارُ وَالْمِلْحَفَةُ. الدِّرْعُ وَالْخِمَارُ وَالْمِلْحَفَةُ. We'll explain in a minute. الدِّرْع is what? الدِّرْع, it's literally دِرْع. It's like an armor. You say dira. Someone wears a dira when he's fighting an armor, which comes from the neck down probably to the thigh or below the knee. That is called dira. Or probably comes down all the way to the ankles. طيب, it's dira, like a sort of an armor. والخمار, الخمار comes from the head down to toward to cover the rest of, يعني comes down on her from the top of the head and comes down to cover. That is called الخمار. And الملحفة, and like a abaya, like what you call a abaya today, is something that comes on top of the dira and comes and surrounds her. You see? That is what it called الدرع والخمار والملحفة. طيب. Now, as for the feet of the woman inside the salat, of course, the feet of the woman outside the salat is awrah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly said in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, al-mar'atu awrah, the woman is awrah. So all of her is awrah. So need to be fully covered. The exception, the difference amongst the ulama is about the face and the hands. Hadith Umm Salama, atusalli al-mar'atu fi dir'in wa khimar wa laysa 'alayha izar. The hadith of Umm Salama radiyallahu anha, collected by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi. The Prophet, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, atusalli al-mar'atu fi dir'in wa khimar laysa 'alayha izar? Does the woman pray in a dir'a? What is the dir'a? We explained. A khimar, we explained, laysa alayha izar. Izar is that normal izar you wear from the waist down to the feet. Pay attention what the Prophet ﷺ said. قَالَ إِذَا كَانَ الدِّرْعُ سَابِغًا يُغَطِّي ظُهُورَ قَدَمَيْهَا. If the dir' is sabig, what is sabig? Sabig mean overwhelmingly covering. It covers ظُهُورَ قَدَمَيْهَا. ظَهْرُ الْقَدَمْ is the back of the feet. What is the back of the feet? Not the one that faces the ground, the top. So that is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umm Salam. So it has to be, here he said, is a dir'a. Because a dir'a a lot of the time is not sabig. Could reach to where? To the knees. If it is sabig, a long dir'a, all the way, covers the top of the feet, then it is allowed. So the feet is submerged inside the dir'a. So when she's praying, it's covered the feet. Now, and that is the correct opinion. Wallahu alam. Of course, the matter is debatable. The matter is debatable amongst the ulama whether the feet of the woman inside the salat is awra or not. Mafhum. But the correct opinion, it is awra that needed to be covered. Wallahu alam. The matter goes, all of it revolves around authenticating some of this ahadith. And then here he said, وَأُمُّ الْوَلَدِ وَالْمُعْتَقُ بَعْضُهَا كَالْأَمَهِ. Pay attention. Show the greatness of the Sharia. He said, the أُمُّ الْوَلَد, who is أُمُّ الْوَلَد? Slave woman who bears her master's child. What happened to أُمُّ الْوَلَد? She is a slave girl. Now, she got pregnant from him. Because he's allowed to, if she's not married, to sleep with her. If she got pregnant from him, what happens then? She becomes what? Mother of child from him, and he's a free man. Now, she will remain a slave to the father until the father emancipate her, give her her freedom. Now, if he gives her freedom, she's free. If he doesn't, she will remain a slave to him until he passes away. Because she cannot be sold anymore. He cannot sell her anymore. Khalas, finished. Because she is pregnant from him. She's called Ummul Walad. وَالْمُعْتَقُ بَعْضُهَا. What is مُعْتَقُ بَعْضُهَا? Meaning, this woman, she had money and she bought her freedom. Half a free woman. But she still need to save some money to buy the rest of herself. We have something in Islam, this is what you need to understand, that the Sharia of Islam abolished the slavery in a way where the rich did not feel angry about it. The Western way, the Bill of Rights, when they freed the slaves, it caused the mass problem till today. When a man was a millionaire one night, the second night was what? Bankrupt. Owning 500-600 slaves. Example, a landlord that has 500-600 slaves working on the land, and overnight he freed, the law comes out, they're all free. He's a bankrupt, so he will always hold grudges. But Islam, in any mistake that you do, you see, عتق رقبة, free slaves. So the freeing of the slaves was something to worship Allah with. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu had so many slaves. Every time he sees one of them praying, he will free him. And some of them they picked up on that, so they start praying. So they came to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and they said to him, "Ya Abdullah, actually your slaves are tricking you." He says, "Whomever trick us in Allah, let him trick us." And even if he's acting, khalas, we'll free him. See, this is where the Sharia came. Also the Sharia, one of the beauty of the Sharia, we have the concept of mukatab. What is the mukatab? Very simple. Al-mukatab is, you come to your slave, you say, "Come here, go find yourself a job, and I will, in an installment, you buy your freedom." For example, say 1,000 dirham or something, say every month, you pay me 50 dirham. Until you pay me the 1,000 dirham, then you're free. He's called what? Mukatab. He's not fully free, nor he is a slave. And if you read how much even Islam protected their feelings, that you cannot say to a slave, "Go, you're free," and then you come back and say, no, I was joking. If you say, "Go, you're free, I freed you," khalas, he's free. That's it. It's like the talaq. Hazluhunna hazl, wajadduhunna jad. Their joke is serious, and their serious is serious. If you say to your wife, "Anti talaq," jokingly, she's talaq, khalas. And if you say to your slave, "You're free," khalas, he's free. Shar'an, he's free. You see why? So you don't play with their feelings and hurt their feelings and so on. طيب. Why the Shaykhiyah, he said, their awra is the same? He said, because they are in hukm al-mamluk. They take the ruling of mamluk, the one who is being owned. They're not fully free yet. Now, what about if the woman, she is in a park and she believes that she needs to cover her face? Does she have to unveil her face in the salat? No, she does not have to unveil her face in the salat. Again, we're talking about the bare minimum in the salat. This is minimum you need to cover. Anything that shows more than that, then you need to cover it very quickly. طيب, we'll speak next week if the awra got uncovered a little bit in the salat, what we do. We'll speak inshallah next week. وَمَنْ صَلَّى فِي ثَوْبٍ مَغْصُوبٍ. The one who prays in thawb that is stolen. It's a very important matter that we talk about. Now, before I seal my lesson, I want to mention something. There is a going around opinion, which is a odd opinion, that a awra between women and a woman is between the knee and the navel. Awra between a woman and a woman. Now, the awra between woman and another woman, an awra between a woman and her mahram men, pay attention, is the places of wudu. What is the places of wudu? Meaning, the places of wudu, the feet. Let's start from the top. Hair, including the face and the ears, of course. The neck, the hands, the arm, up to the elbows, up to here. Meaning like wearing a t-shirt, you could say. And the feet. Maybe a little bit above the ankles, there is no issue. So, the girl in front of her father, in front of her brother, in front of her son, this has to be covered. More than that, it's only for the husband, to keep the respect. Now, something showed that we don't argue too much. Like for example, let's say she wore three-quarter shorts. Three-quarter shorts, which is halfway between the knee and the ankle. We can overlook that. But the basic principle, this is, in front of a mahram men, this has to be covered. Also, you see some women, they wear tights, for example, inside the house, or shorts. Shorts which is up to the knee or above the knee. That is also wrong, incorrect, and la yajuz. Also, what we need to highlight, that when we have these, what they call Islamic women dinner, where all the women attend, you see they wear split all the way, as it's been narrated to me, يعني, from trustworthy sisters, split all the way where the thigh is showing in the dress. You know, some of them have split and they wear the top part where the shoulders are showing and the breast area is showing, the cleavage area, the back. When you trace the whole matter, which is I traced it and I did a thorough study, I found the ahadith that came to speak about the awrah of the woman between the surah and the knee, the navel and the knee, it's talking about the slave girl. So you cannot carry this ahadith on a free woman. The free woman has to be covered properly, even in front of other women. Of course, not to the extreme of covering the hair, but to cover that awrah unless it is necessary for medical reasons. The awrah between a woman and a woman is clear. قال سبحانه وتعالى ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن and the ayah continue أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن. Here the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that do not show their zina except to their husbands or their fathers or the sons of their husbands or their sons and so on. The ayah continued to say, aw or their women. Talking about women to women. In this ayah, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ and they do not show their adornment except to their husbands or their sons or the children of their husband and her stepson and so on. And then the ayah mentioned An-Nisa, which is other women. That means we derive from the ayah that the awrah of the woman in front of her men who are mahram is the same of the awrah of the one in front of other women. So the awrah of women in front of their mahram, it is the same as other women. So the awrah that a woman can show her father or her son, it is the same awrah that she can show other women. So the awrah between, this is important asal, the awrah between women and women is the same thing she can show her father and her son and so on, and her brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they do not show their zina, their adornment, except what is apparent from it. إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. What is ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا? Here, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Pay attention. The best explanation is the explanation of whom? Companions radiallahu anhum. We say we follow the Salaf, that is the Salaf. Because, ya ikhwa, the opinion to say that the awrah of a woman in front of other women is only between the navel and the knee, like men in front of men, there is no dalil, not weak, no authentic dalil. And the dalil is found, which is we said in the dars, it's for slave girls, and you cannot measure the slave girl with the free girl. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, "Az-zinatu zinatan, fa-dhahiru minha al-thiyab." What is apparent from it is the clothing. "Wama khafiya al-khulkhalan." Al-khulkhal is the ankle. "Wal-qiratan," the two earrings. "Was-siwaran," and the two siwar, the two bangles. And this is also يعني الحاكم صححه على شرط مسلم. مجاهد رحمه الله said أنه قال يعني به in this ayah that I mentioned, ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها وليضربن بخمورهن على جيوبهن. He said القرطين والسالف والساعدين والقدمين, meaning القرطين, the two earrings, the neck, الساعدين والقدمين. الساعد is the arms and al-qadamain, the feet. And then he said, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْأَفْضَلِ, and this is the best, أَلَّا تُبْدِيَ مِنْ زِينَتِهَا الْبَاطِنَ شَيْئًا لِغَيْرِ زَوْجِهَا إِلَّا مَا يَظْهَرُ مِنْهَا فِي مِهْنَتِهَا. Do not show her hidden zina except for her husband, which is ما يظهر منها في مهنتها, except what usually appears whilst she's working at home. يعني when she's working at home and doing the house chores, what usually appears is the places of wudu, the places of wudu.
طيب. Also another دليل that a woman is not allowed to show anything from her body in front of women, except what we mentioned, which is really the places of wudu. The female companions used to forbid newcomers to the Islam and other women from entering public hammam. What is the hammam? The Turkish bath. Enter and you have a shower, of course covered, not naked. But they dress very minimal. If you enter the Turkish bath, there is a Turkish also they do for women. So this is another proof that the companion female used to forbid other companion female or other newcomers to the Islam or their students from entering and forbidden from entering the hammam. Why? So they don't see the aura of other women. Here also, some women from Ahl al-Sham entered upon Aisha. And she said, radiallahu anha, لَعَلَّ كُنَّ مِنَ الْكُورَةِ أَلَّتِي تَدْخُلُ نِسَاؤُهُمْ نِسَاؤُهَا الْحَمَّامِ. She said to them, radiallahu anha, that I assume you are from Al-Kura place in Bilad al-Sham, where the women who live there, they enter Al-Hammam. Not Al-Hammam, the toilet, ya akhi. Al-Hammam is the Turkish bath. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, I heard the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, أيما امرأة وضعت ثيابها في غير بيت زوجها فقد هتكت سترها فيما بينها وبين الله عز وجل. رواه الإمام أحمد. She said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, any woman removes her clothing in the house apart from the house of her husband, she has removed the veil between her and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This veil, this covenant, this cover between her and Allah, she has removed it. يعني she has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does it mean remove her clothing? We're saying again to take off طيب, and show awra that she's supposed to cover. You understand? And awra of a woman in front of other women, as we said, are the places of wudu. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to send letters and say, لا تدخلن امرأة مسلمة الحمام إلا من سقم وعلموا نساءكم سورة النور. He said, do not let a Muslim woman enter al-hammam illa man saqim, except the sick one if she needs to. وَعَلِّمُوا نِسَاءَكُمْ سُورَةَ النُّورِ, teach your wives or your women the surah of Nur. Now, what about men in front of other men and men in front of other women? Some brothers, they say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, my awra is between the knees and the navel. And then the brother, he goes to the gym and he waxes his hair like a woman, and he waxes himself and he oils himself, and then the women already, their iman is weak. He goes buy this tight t-shirt with glitter. You've seen the one with the glitter? The glitter t-shirt? He looks like a woman. I don't know why you wear, men wearing glitter or glasses with glitter. أعوذ بالله اتق الله. Or a tight t-shirt, his breast, of course, pumping roid is haram in Islam. Of course, he is now awrah and he should wear loose clothing. If his body is attractive to women and he notices that women are attracted to it, usually they do it so they can attract women. But we're speaking about a brother who fears Allah. If you feel that women are attracted, then stay away from this clothing, because you are an attraction to women as she is an attraction to you. طيب, let me seal. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.